ska punk band formed in Berkeley, California, and was often credited with spurring the 1990s punk revival in California.
All right, gentlemen. I'm gonna try something new here. You guys ready?
Fuck yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
The future is bulletproof. The aftermath is secondary. It's time to do it now and do it loud. Killjoys, make some noise.
Invite neighbors to listen to music containing profanity. In the fort tonight we have neighbor Paul. Neighbor Paul, say hi.
What's up?
And we have neighbor Brett. Neighbor Brett, say hi.
Suck it.
Hey, neighbor Paul, bring that beat back. What do you think of our new theme song? Bring that beat back. Bring that beat back.
Pretty sweet.
You know, I like it, but it kind of sounds like a halftime break at an NBA game.
Oh, you might have just wrecked it for me.
Commercial break.
It sounds sort of like it's like the Cousins of the Offspring or something.
My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance
is a fucking guilty pleasure of mine.
I've never gotten into them.
Guilty pleasure for me, too. It's like when I used to watch 90210 reruns.
Yep, yeah. So this is their latest, like, I don't know, it's the fucking follow-up to Black Flag Part 2 or My Black Parade Damn. Part 2. It's their latest shit, and that's na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, okay.
So anyways, hey, welcome, gentlemen. Now, I don't know if we've ever had Paul and Brett alone in a room at the same time.
Not sober.
With witnesses, anyways. So, hey, guys.
One of us is usually under the covers.
Exactly. under the covers.
Never get under the covers with Tony because he'll totally fucking hotbox you.
All right. You know what I want to talk about?
Yeah.
Where do you fuckers get your hair cut?
Right here.
What?
In the fort.
You? Okay.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No.
I'm in a fucking Great Clips conundrum. And I've used conundrum on a lot of podcasts lately. let me think of what's it? Hey, Paul, you're the word guy. What's a different word for mess? A mixed up mess.
Quandary?
Yes, I'm in a Great Clips quandary. I'm cheap, extremely cheap, and I like to pay around $13 for a haircut.
Yep.
The problem is, sometimes I go into Great Clips and I get a good haircut, and sometimes I go into Great Clips and I get a bad haircut. So, and you do, I don't know. Hey, Paul, do I look good?
I'd find you attractive if I had a homosexual gene in
you. Okay.
What the fuck?
How the fuck could you get a bad haircut? You always have your hair, like, really short and buzzed, and it always looks totally the same and good.
Right, I do.
So how could you have a bad haircut unless a chick was going with the number two, and all of a sudden hiccup, and you got, like, a little bald patch?
No, what it is I always go in for the high and tight. Five on top, one raised down to the bottom, blended best you can. But it's how it grows out, because as it grows out, I can put it into a little bit of a douche hawk. Or a little bit of a Ferris Bueller flip at the top, you know? So it's a month later because I'm also so cheap that I won't get my hair cut more than once every 2 months.
Yeah.
So I want to know where you guys get your hair cut because, Paul, you're generally a well-shaven, like, good-looking dude.
I don't have any hair anymore because I gave it all to my daughter.
Gave it all to your
daughter? My daughter is 5, and I still, almost 6 years old, she still believes that the reason I've lost some hair, lots of hair, is because when she was born, God asked me to give her some hair.
Okay.
So she's 5, and she still thinks that that's why I have not a lot of hair on my head.
Wow, that's
and a couple years ago, I just decided to fire it before it quit.
So, fire your hair. That's why you go so short.
Yes, and I just said, you know what? I'm not going to spend $15. That's a fucking case of Black Label. I'm not going to fucking do that every time. So I just buzz it myself. I buzz my beard, buzz my hair.
If you grew your hair out, you'd have hair.
Yeah, you got widow's peak. You'd have like a fucking Herman Munster shit going on.
All right, so I got a little bit of hair.
Herman? No,
okay,
no.
I'm sorry. I'll rewind that.
No.
You'd have some fucking, what's the guy from the Addams Family?
Eddie?
No. Yeah, you'd have some Eddie Munster shit going on.
All right, all right.
Anyways, all right. Brett, yeah. Where do you get your hair? Oh, look at you two. Okay, right. I'm asking the two wrongest dudes in the neighborhood. We got Mr. Mop Top, fucking Sideshow Bob over there. And we got Mr. I Shave It with the number 3 blade. Sideshow Bob, where do you get your hair trimmed?
Actually, that's funny because I shaved my fucking, I manscape with the number 3.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I manscape with the number 2.
Because it doesn't get 13-year-old boy, but it gets scruff. It's kind of like a 3 o'clock shadow on my cock.
Yeah, it's like you're not trying too hard, but yet you're well kept. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, well, we had a whole, Paul and I had a whole podcast about this, and you want the number 1 reason to manscape was so that when you're rolling a condom on that motherfucker, you don't wrap up a long pubic hair in the roll at the end.
I know.
And you pull it off and you go,
exactly.
I know. Exactly. I totally agree, because back when I was a young pup and I wasn't into manscaping. It never hurts when you put it on, but when you take it off, it's like somebody put duct tape across your fucking cock hair and just ripped it off.
And I'm not getting the clippy clip.
It's like 40-year-old Virgin when he gets his fucking chest hair waxed.
Hey.
Oh my God, so neighbor Paul comes over tonight. He's like, hey dude, I haven't seen you in a while. And he looks at me and he goes, did you? And I go, spit it out. He goes, did you get a perm? I'm like, what?
Yeah, his hair looks like
and I go, dude, this is my hair in the summer. He goes, oh, okay.
Yeah, if I had to describe that fucking mop top, it's basically like, well, it's like pubic hair. It's like unkempt pubic hair.
Actually, you know what it is?
And your face is shaped like a cock.
It's basically like a ratted out nest of SOS pads.
There you go,
and
perfect.
You look like Geddy Lee of Rush.
Yeah.
Dude, VH1
Classic last week. They had him from like 78 rocking out on this concert, and I'm like, holy fucking God.
Nice.
And I can get my voice that high, too, so I was like, God, I'm talented in weird ways.
Shit, what was the transition I was going to bite on? Do you remember?
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, 40-year-old virgin.
Or as I said, 40-year-old virgin. And you said, good transition. Back when I was a young gay boy. And I was an altar boy.
Who fucking farted, man?
Not me. You'll know.
Recently.
Holy Christ.
You'll know because your fucking iPod will start to melt.
Okay, so since I can't, game on.
Oh, cost cutters.
Either way, all I need to know is a place where I can get a $20 haircut and I can look like I actually got a decent haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm tired of this fucking high and tight and see how it rolls out at the end, a month later.
The John English Men's Room in Uptown.
All right, John. This podcast not sponsored by John English Men's Room in Uptown.
Yep.
This podcast also not sponsored by some fucking sweet ass Snapple Diet Green and Black Peach Tea that I got mixed with vermouth and vodka.
I was going to say, that thing didn't come with the cap sealed.
No, definitely not, man. And if the vermouth and vodka is not an especially good mix, but it's what I had in a flask. So,
neighbor Tony, why do you always drink a mix of alcohol and some lame beverage that the three of us stole from our parents' liquor cabinet when we were like 14?
What I got laying around.
I mean, can't you just like put some quality shit in there?
No, you know what it is I have a special section of my liqueur cabinet at home.
See
how I said
that? Liqueur. When we were 14, we didn't know what liqueur was, or like cooking sherry.
No.
Liquor cabinet. Must put in.
I got a fucking special section of booze for shit that's left over after a night. A night of fucking mayhem. So I take this shit that I don't want to dump down the drain, all your leftover drinks that you guys don't finish, I pour them into a huge flask, maybe a martini shaker, and I fucking put it in the fridge or up in a liquor cabinet, and I finish it off a month later.
You know who you are? You're fucking Schmelds or whatever that worthless nephew is from Caddyshack who goes around the bar and like taps out the last couple drinks of a highball. You just take all that shit, throw it in a Apple bottle,
I had
and you come to pod. No wonder you get so fucked up.
Neighbor Jim.
I'm just cheap.
Neighbor Jim. So, you know, neighbor had neighbor Matt there last year, right? So, Jim is another buddy of mine I grew up with. He always pissed us off because we'd go out, you know, we're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. Go out on a Saturday night with, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. You go out, you know, 12 midnight to grab some pizza or something. And we'd go into this place, and there was a pizza palace. There's a place right up the street from us we'd walk to. You walk in, and we're already scoping out who's there, any hot chicks, who do we know, what seat are we going to sit in, and my gut's saying, I want a whole pizza myself. He's walking, he's scoping out all the fucking booths that have been vacated and all the leftover food. So he's grabbing the leftover fucking piece of pizza. He's slurping down a Coke. He grabs the fries. All this shit sits down, and we all want to order food. He's like, oh, I'm good. And the bill comes half hour, hour later, whatever. He's like, no, I'm fine. He doesn't want anything. He just ate all leftover food all scattered on tables.
Wait, I had
Man,
a good...
this is the same motherfucker who, on a camping trip we took when we were like 18, 19 years old up in New Hampshire, the pouring fucking rain, setting up tents, or like 10 of us. One motherfucker's trying to light a goddamn grill, and he just keeps shooting lighter fluid in the pouring rain, just shooting it and blasting fucking flames and throwing matches
what
and shit.
What man doesn't
just
do that?
Doing it over and over. But there were already hot dogs in the grill. And just over and over again. And Jim, same motherfucker, didn't give a fuck. He's the one who would try them to see if they're ready. So he's grabbing them off there, and they were just fucking lighter fluid dogs. And he's scarfing them down.
Raw hot dogs.
Yeah.
And yet they're doused in lighter fluid.
But. The same fucking trip, the same event that's stuck in my head, he motherfucking goes over to this little tent area we have, and we set up some of the condom mints, and one of the guys took a fucking relish knife and dipped it into a little bowl someone had poured of mustard for some gay-ass reason, and Jim goes mental. The fuck? You can't put the goddamn fucking relish knife in the fucking mustard!
Don't mix the condiments!
Yeah.
Don't mix the condiments!
I know this man. I know, I agree. Yeah. That's a weird nuance of human psyche, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what? That happened to me my senior year, rainy day, up in Duluth, same thing. Fucking my ex-roommate sitting there, I go, Phil, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, Coals aren't hot enough. I'm like, all right. But the hot dogs weren't on yet.
Yeah.
Well, then he didn't wait until they burnt out, you know? And he puts the hot dogs on. We're all sitting there, just drunk off our ass, watching some football game, eating our hot dogs. And we're all looking at each other like, something doesn't taste right.
Oh.
And then it just, we realized this is lighter fluid. And I swear to God, we belched fire.
Oh.
It was fucking gross. The next morning,
oh,
I didn't have a solid shit for like a week.
Speaking of belching fire, Paul, you got a song to play for us?
Does it have to do belching fire?
Yeah, man. Fucking Operation Ivy fucking belches fire.
Fucking A, then let's belch some fire.
Let's belch some fire.
We haven't played Operation Ivy before on the show, have we?
Operation Ivy is a fucking worthy opponent, and I'm a little pissed that you drew this song up before I drew this song up.
I mean no harm. I just bring good rock to the show.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that most of our listeners, especially the folks in China, have not heard of Operation Ivy and haven't heard of this album called Energy. And the first fucking song, which is fantastic because it's just simply called Knowledge, it's only a minute 40 seconds, and it blew fucking Green Day's minds when they were little kids.
Cue it up!
I know things are getting tougher when you can't get the thumb off the bottom of the barrel. What up and roar my future now? Looking fucking new!
I'm so goddamn pissed at you that you beat me to that album.
I read
a whole book on this.
Good. I didn't know.
And for me to read a whole book.
We didn't talk about it. It's a good fucking band. I just fucking had it in
right. Operation Ivy is the fucking Green Day before Green Day became Green Day.
No shit.
Green Day used to go to Operation Ivy concerts.
Uh-huh.
So Green Day.
Did they really?
Operation Ivy precedes or predates or pre-circumcises
Operation Ivy. No, I'm sorry. Operation Ivy pre-circumcises Green Day by about 9 months.
9 months.
Because yeah, you got the whole fucking. What do you got, Paul?
When the fuck did the first Green Day album come out? Because this Operation
it's
Ivy album.
Gotta be 93.
No, but, 90, no, it was like 91 or 90.
Because Dookie was the big fucking MTV smash hit album we all like, right?
Right.
That shit was 1993.
Yeah.
All right, and this album, Energy by Operation Ivy, was 1989, but 1991 got reissued on Lookout Records.
Right,
so
because...
Because it was getting big.
Yeah, because, well, you know what it was that because, I don't, for some reason, I don't exactly know why Operation Ivy broke up, but Green Day fucking struck a chord in the post-punk, like, yeah. new modern day of
right,
Nirvana
right.
and whatever else. This shit hit, and Green Day took off, and Operation, and people started saying, ooh, maybe we ought to sell. I can't remember the label that was in Berkeley that sold that shit.
I don't remember either.
But what's fucked up is that, what is it? Rancid. Rancid
yeah.
is Operation Ivy. Tim Armstrong, Matt Freeman, and maybe Lars Friedrichsen. They are the guys who become Rancid. And Rancid is a fucking band who was like, aw shit, maybe we shouldn't have let Op Ivy go so early. So Rancid comes out in like 92 or some shit like that, or 93, doing what they should have been doing in 89.
Yes.
There you fucking go. They're both recorded on the same weird label up in the hills of fucking above Oakland.
Lookout Records, it says.
Lookout Records, yeah.
May of 2006, Lookout Records officially removed Energy, this Operation Ivy album, from their catalog, and the album had been the label's
when?
Best, it says, 2006, had been one of the label's best-selling albums after Green Day's first two albums.
Yeah, because so, Green Day made everybody look back on it. And you know what's fucking funny? You got Tim Armstrong, who is in Op Ivy, and then you have Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah.
Where the fuck, did they both make their name Armstrong? Are they?
I don't know. That's the Green Day dude you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Billy Joel Armstrong from fucking Green Day.
Is he Lance's brother?
Are they brothers? Yeah, are they?
Okay,
that would be
so,
an odd trifecta.
So their first commercial album.
Whose first commercial album?
Green Day, 39 Smooth, 1990. Kerplunk, 1992.
Kerplunk was the big one. Yeah,
yep,
Kerplunk
so
was the big one. Yep, so that's the thing is that Green Day is what Op Ivy should have been.
Mm-hmm.
It had they kept plugging away for another couple of fucking months. Paul, you beat me to the post-punk. I want to play some real punk.
Okay.
Some fucking Minneapolis punk, as in the course of Husker Du.
You said real punk, right?
Yeah. Okay. Husker Du is the band that preceded the Replacements and should have made it big. Well, wait, I'm sorry. The Husker Du is the band that preceded the Replacements that wanted to make it big but didn't. The Replacements were the band that made it big in spite of themselves, even though they didn't want to.
I think I followed that.
That made no goddamn sense.
No, it totally did. I followed it.
All right, so, you know, you talk about those bands, Op Ivy and Green Day, being influenced by Husker Du. 1985, I'm going to play you some fucking off of Flip Your Wig. 1985, Husker Du album, Flip Your Wig.
Okay.
I'm going to play you Forward Talker Bob Mould with Divide and Conquer.
Forward Talker?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean by that?
When we divided up all the land, we got states and cities, cities have their neighborhoods, and more, that's just the choice. The country's divided by wall, ocean and latitude, and longitude, longing to find out what the mystery.
I'm gonna pause it right here. Did you hear Bob talking about 9-digit zip codes?
Yeah.
I did.
Speaking of, do you know what zip code stands for? You know what a zip stands for?
What? Really?
Yeah.
What is this? What is zip code? You do not know.
The fuck? You think they just say zip? It's zone improvement plan.
God damn it! Smartest guy in the room, neighbor Paul.
Woo! Cliff Clavin.
Right,
I thought it stood for zip your pie hole.
So what the fuck is this future forward talker shit about?
All right, no. Okay, you're going to hear Bob in the next couple of verses here sing about the internet connecting the world together
what?
And about how we're all going to become a global village and you're sneaking into it's, he knows about the internet in 1985.
If you can understand. Wow.
There you go, right there.
Wow.
The fucking wake up the global village, all the houses will be connected, and who's gonna keep the internet, who's gonna keep them from breaking into my house when they're that far away across the world?
Wow.
He knew about fucking, Bob Mould knew about, pausing. Joking. Bob Mould just told you all about the internet in 1985.
Thank you, Al Gore.
Bob Mould just told you about the Nigerian money scheme and identity theft in 1985.
Thank you,
consider yourselves warned. And you're gonna hear a fuck come up. Fucking who's gonna do for the day.
You know what? I have to admit, after all these years, I've known about Husker Du since probably 85.
Yeah.
Brother Brad and I and all our ski friends used to listen to him on the bus ride to the slopes and on the slopes. I always knew who they were. This is the first time I've ever heard them.
You've heard Bob Mould, right?
Yeah, this is surprising, though, because this versus Bob Mould Workbook, his first solo album, my brother turned me on to that, and I still love it, and I still listen to it, but it's like fucking night and day.
Yeah, fucking Workbook from Bob Mould was his first album post-Husker Du. He fled. He fled the Twin Cities. He fled the whole fucking rock scene. He fled Warner Brothers, who they were signed with. And he fucking went 2 hours north of the cities, or an hour north of the cities, to Pine City, and fucking wrote Workbook, which is an acoustic masterpiece.
And you say,
although it does have...
You say he wrote it in a farm bullshit, because all Pine City has is single wide trailer.
No, he wrote it in a barn.
Then you know what? That's Hollywood's version of a double wide then. And I can tell you, there is no fucking double wides in Pine City.
There's also no hotels in Pine City.
So what year was that album
No,
from?
But there are motels.
Flip Your Wig was 1985. And by 1987, 88, they had released two albums with Warner Brothers and fucking grenaded.
Ah,
all
right.
Yeah, all right. And then you go 1991 or 92, The Replacements grenade.
All right.
Anything from Minnesota, aside from the suburbs, should fucking, grenades.
So I you know neighbor Matt, I've mentioned him several times, lives out in D.C. area, right?
Yeah.
He was here last summer. He was in the Husker Du in... when we were in high school. I grew up in high school in 1988, and he was listening to Husker Du. Yeah, I'd listened to it, but I didn't really care. It was not that big a deal. It wasn't melodic, right? It wasn't accessible or tangible.
You know, Husker Du is a bit, it's fucking abrasive.
Yeah.
Until you get to those last two Warner Brothers albums, it's abrasive.
It wasn't.
But, okay.
So he was into that, and then he was into early Soundgarden, and that also wasn't melodic. I didn't care. He even listened to Pearl Jam, and as you say, Minnesota borrowed to me the Pearl Jam CD, and I was okay with it. I wasn't really too into it. But John, another guy I grew up with, was totally into Replacements.
Wow.
And anytime he had Replacements, I was over at his house listening to it, and pleased to meet me. He said, dead serious, at 18 years old, this is probably the greatest rock and roll album in the history of the world.
You know what, though? I mean, knowing about Husker Du for years and just hearing them for the first time and knowing the Replacements and hearing a lot of them, I would see Husker Du and the Replacements being more popular nationwide, commercial-wide, than Soul Asylum.
Wait, the Replacements or Husker Du, you said?
Both of them.
Really?
More so than Soul Asylum.
But I don't think Husker Du...
Soul Asylum is... I mean, they're almost sellouts, you know? I mean, they went straight to the studio album.
I'm sorry, but fuck no. You're talking somebody who's in the 7-timer club for Soul Asylum. I watched Soul Asylum play around these cities for fucking my entire high school years.
But that's in high school, though. I'm talking when they became, like, commercial countrywide.
That's true. And, you know, I used to be pissed about that Grave Dancers Union and all that bullshit. I was like, fuck Soul Asylum. This is a guy that religiously saw them every time they played in town from 1987 to fucking 1992. And then that Grave Dancers Union comes out, and I was like, forget it. But now that I go back and listen to my Soul Asylum, it was always there, and all they did was polish it up a little bit with Sony or whoever released them.
That's what a lot of hardcore YouTube fans say about Joshua Tree, that they just sold out and went commercial. And Joshua Tree was the first U2 album I ever heard. I mean, I'd heard War every now and then, but I don't know, for some reason that Joshua Tree is one of my favorite albums.
All right, you know, as long as you brought that up, I'm going to play a fucking snippet, because this does not have any profanity in it,
okay,
of Soul Asylum that will blow your fucking mind.
All right.
If you want to know somebody that can make a guitar sound like a cat being killed, here we go.
Well, when do I get to play my shit?
Later. Myself a beer.
What he said?
Yeah. Okay.
I have.
Okay. I could talk about this business all day long, but I want to play the Urban Dictionary, the first inaugural Music to Swear By Urban Dictionary made up word game.
All right.
Okay.
So this is a game where I will go to Urban Dictionary.
But wait. Can we give a made up word and then we have to guess it? What it means?
No. You have to give me a word that you make up in your head. I will then look it up on the Urban Dictionary.
All right.
And I will read, because guaranteed somebody made it up before you.
All right. What?
So for example, as shiznit was a Snoop Dogg word, I'm claiming, oh, fuck it. Fuck it. Just Brett, make up a word in your mind and read it to me.
Okay.
Ass wipe.
Well, ass wipe is an easy one, but okay, ass wipe. ASSWIPE. Go. Asswipe, as known on Urban Dictionary. A butt plug, rug munching, asshole, son of a biatch. Or toilet paper.
It totally sounds
ooh, wait, let me read you the example sentence. Ooh, that asswipe need to go play a gay convention.
Oh, God.
Or, who was the asswipe that don't leave any asswipes in here?
Does fucking Cartman write for, like, Urban Dictionary?
Is that who I'm speaking as of?
Probably.
Okay, come on. Asswipe was easy. Give me another one.
Baldy locks.
Ball koozie.
Oh, you mean like some little cozy thing to hold
all right.
the balls?
B-A-L-L-C-U, two Z's or one Z?
Onesies. Okay. Oh, I know the definition.
Ball koozie. Oh, here we go, here we go. Hey, yeah, shove, here we go. Ball koozie. Place your nuts in a bowl of warm water. Then have your girl put a straw into the bowl and blow bubbles under your balls. Rubber ducky is optional.
Okay, let it be known to the listening audience.
Oh,
I was taking a swig of beer and I just spit it.
Okay, so we all know that a ball koozie is having your girlfriend blow up some bubbles under your balls.
Do you think neighbor Brett could poke his wife in the shoulder when I get home and have her give me a bowl of koozie?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Did you say a bowl of warm water or just a bowl of water?
A bowl of warm water. It has to be warm because it's a jacuzzi.
Well, if it was cold, your fucking nuts would shrink up into raisins.
Right, right. Then you have ball choosy cubes. Oh. Name a brand. Give me right. another word for Urban Dictionary, generic word, made up word, look up.
Dick cunt.
Dick cunt?
No. One word, dick cunt. Not dick
okay,
cunt.
Okay, dick cunt, one word. D-I-C-K-C-U-N-T, the word I hate.
You just said cunt.
Okay, here we go. Dick cunt, a term of extreme abuse for somebody or something that has annoyed or offended one. Example, oh my God, he's such a dick cunt.
Love it.
Wait. Oh, wait, or if you want to go British, you've been a right dick cunt. And that is the only definition of dick cunt.
You know what?
I could
I could be struck by lightning right now and die happy because Neighbor Tony just said cunt five.
Shit!
I've known Neighbor Tony. How long have we known each other?
Well, if you have the proof.
How long have you lived here?
I don't know, 4 years?
I've known Tone 4 years and he said cunt twice in my presence. Both forced. Now he just said it 5 times happily.
Well, if you've got the prefix of dick, it doesn't matter, okay? Could somebody give me the acronym for prefix? Wait a minute. I'm going to look up. Wait a minute.
That comes before the word.
I'm going to look up prefix on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's prefix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Prefix. An addition that is added to the beginning of a word, giving it a different meaning. Well, that's actually accurate. Boring.
That's
okay.
Urban Dictionary?
Wait, here we go. Here we go. The second definition of prefix on Urban Dictionary. The act of completely destroying a partially broken or damaged object before calling in a professional. Example, I was at my bud's and I saw him prefix his TV. That sucks for him. He got to call the repairman now. Prefix.
Stupid.
Hello, I have something to add. Okay, I'm done peeing now.
Well, hey, did you prefix that bottle of beer?
No, but it reminds me of when you and I prefixed my plumbing.
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, yeah. We prefixed your plumbing, and you had to call in a plumber a day later.
But the funny thing was, I was going to call the plumber anyways, but I wanted to know you better, and we got stone cold drunk.
Yeah,
and
that's
we were soldering.
We were. Oh.
And then you started my fucking insulation on fire.
And we were drunk watching football and working on his plumbing.
Prefixing it.
Yeah, prefixing it.
5 hours, and then our wives made dinner.
Dude.
We were so drunk, we couldn't even eat.
You see this scar on my elbow right here?
That's right.
That's from hot soldering cum jizzing on my arm.
Funny thing was, you were so drunk, you're like, I think my skin's burning.
All right, we kind of need to wrap up this podcast.
Hey,
Paul,
wait.
Time out. Let me moderate. Let me moderate.
Yeah. What?
Okay, before Neighbor Brett gets to his trash talk and mean song, hey, David Paul, is there anything else you want to do?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone out there, well, particularly you guys here in the Twin Cities and you guys in particular here for supporting me in my pursuit of Hennepin County Milk Commissioner position. I've been working pretty hard with an exploratory group. We've been investigating the possibility of me getting involved in Minnesota Dairy Association to help out with helping with milk purification laws.
Yeah.
And it's a passion of mine. You know, I haven't officially declared, but I would appreciate any emails to Governor Mark Dayton suggesting me for Hennepin County Milk Commission.
And a new Viking Stadium,
yep.
Which will be 4 miles from this location.
Neighbor Brett, what do you got for a song?
All right, you guys did 70s punk, 80s punk. I'm going to do 90s. Ready?
Okay, introduce your song before, because we're going out on this song.
Well, we're
going
to play it first.
No, we have to talk about it?
Was it a guessing game?
Brett, is this a song we can fucking go out on or not?
Well, speaking of fuck, yes, you can, because it's by Nine Inch Nails, it's called Closer, and it's from the album The Downward Spiral.
Hey, well, thank you everybody for listening to this shitty podcast. You got anything to say? Email Paul, musictoswearby@gmail.com. Otherwise, visit our website, Facebook, musictoswearby.com.
And by the way, Neighbor Paul, Neighbor Tony, I do want to fuck you like an animal.
You let me violate you. You let me desecrate you. You let me penetrate you. You let me come.
complicate you. Help me. I broke apart my insides. Help me. I've got no soul to sell. Help me. The only thing that works for me. Help me get away from myself.
Say who you
no,
said that?
You just been a douche, right? We are appropriately drunk now.